Today is the 25th day of August. Welcome to the Daily Audio Prep. August? August. How do you say it? I guess it's said different around the world. I guess I normally say August. Not sure why all the drama today, but hey, it's good to be here with you today. Locked and loaded, Wind Farm coffee to my right. In my 20th anniversary clean canteen that I'm using this year. Scriptures straight in front of me. And the path together here around the global campfire is straight ahead. So we are straight ahead into some of the deepest, most heartfelt, excruciating, painful parts of the Bible right now as we navigate through the book of Job. And we explore deep trauma, unbelievable emotional suffering and anguish, as well as physical destruction. And so we are in the thick of it at this point. Job and his friends, I mean, we saw what happened to Job, so we can understand the anguish of his soul. His friends have come and they can't even believe what they've seen, but they have gotten into dialogue. And they're really trying to help Job understand that things happen for a reason. And that is falling absolutely flat on Job, who believes there is no reason. And he is holding on to his integrity because he believes in his integrity. He doesn't want human wisdom because human wisdom is failing him completely. And if we've ever experienced traumatic events that are ongoing and are so deeply painful, we also can understand how these things can fall flat. Job wants God. He doesn't want platitudes. He doesn't want human explanation. He wants God. And that is the only way he believes he will ever be able to make sense. He wants God to explain what happened and why. So we've kind of gone through a round of that with Job and his friends. We're moving into kind of round two of the discourse. And as we go through this, we want to certainly pay attention to what Job is saying, because he is giving language and words to what trauma sounds like, what confusion sounds like, what spiritual unrest sounds like. And his friends, they also remind us of ourselves as we try to be a comfort and as we try to sort out from maybe a non-traumatized position how to explain the unexplainable. So today, Job 16 through 19. Job responded, "I have heard many things just like these. You are miserable comforters, all of you. Is there any end to your windy words? What provokes you to respond like this? I also could speak just like you. If your lives were in the same condition that my life is, I could weave fancy words against you and shake my head at you. But instead, I would build you up with the words from my mouth, and comforting words from my lips would ease your pain. Now, if I speak up, it does not lessen my pain. And if I hold back, how much of my pain goes away? Surely, he has worn me out. You have devastated everyone close to me. You have made me shrivel up, and this testifies against me. My emaciated body stands up and is a witness against me, His anger has torn me. He has been hostile to me. He has gnashed his teeth at me. My opponent glares at me with piercing eyes. People have opened their mouths wide against me. They have slapped my face with contempt. They have ganged up on me. God hands me over to evil people. He throws me into the hands of the wicked. When I was at ease, he shattered me. He seized me by the neck and has ripped me to pieces. He has set me up as his target. His archers surround me. He pierces my kidneys and has no pity. He pours out my bile on the earth. He breaks down my walls in many places. He runs against me like a warrior. I have stitched sackcloth to my skin. My horn is stuck in the dust. My face is red from my weeping. There are dark circles under my eyes, even though there is no violence in my hands, and my prayer is pure. Oh, earth, do not cover my blood. Let my cry never find a place to rest. Even now, my witness is in heaven. My advocate is on high. My intercessor is my friend. My eyes never stop weeping to God. My intercessor pleads with God for a man, as another human pleads for his friend. A few more years will come. Then I will go the way of no return. My spirit is broken. My days are snuffed out. The tomb is waiting for me. Surely mockery closes in on me. My eyes must live with my enemy's bitter contempt. Please, pay for me the deposit that you require from me. Indeed, who else could guarantee this payment for me? You have hidden understanding from their hearts. Therefore, you will not let them win. If someone denounces friends for a payoff, his children's eyes will fail. He has made me a laughingstock among the people. They spit in my face. My vision is blurry from grief. I am just a shadow of myself. The upright are appalled at this, and the innocent are aroused against the godless. In spite of it all, the righteous hold tight to their ways, and everyone with clean hands grows stronger. All right then, all of you, please come and try again. But I will not find a wise man among you. My days have passed. All the things I planned to do are ripped apart, including the deepest desires of my heart. They turn night into day. In the face of darkness, they claim light is near. If I wait hopefully for the grave to become my house, if I spread out my bed in the darkness, if I cry out to the pit, you are my father, and to the worm, my mother or my sister, where then is my hope? Who can find any hope for me? Will it go down with me to the barred gates of the grave? Will we rest in the dust together? Bildad the Shuhite responded, "How much longer are all of you going to keep hunting for words? Come to your senses, then we can talk. Why are we considered to be like cattle? Why are we regarded as unreasoning animals in your eyes? You who tear yourself to pieces with your anger. Do you expect the earth to be made desolate for your sake? Should rocks be moved from their place for you? The light of the wicked has been extinguished, and not a spark of his flame still shines. In his tent, light becomes darkness, and the lamp beside him goes out. His powerful strides are tangled up, and his own plans bring him down. Yes, his feet are caught in a net, and he stumbles into its webbing. A trap snaps at his heel, and a snare catches him firmly. A noose lies hidden on the ground for him. A trap is set on his path. Terrors frighten him on every side. They harass him at every step. His strength is eaten away by hunger, and disaster is waiting for him to stumble. It eats away pieces of his skin. Death's firstborn child eats away pieces of him. He is torn away from the safety of his tent. He is marched off to the King of Terrors. Nothing that belonged to him remains in his tent. Sulfur is scattered over his dwelling. His roots dry up below, and his branches wither above. All memory of him perishes from the earth. No one on the street remembers his name. He is pushed away from the light into the darkness. He is chased out of the world. He has no posterity or descendants among his people. He leaves no survivor in his place, where he lived as an alien. People in the West shudder at his fate. People in the East are overcome with horror. Certainly this is the dwelling place for an evil man. This is the place for one who does not acknowledge God. And Job responded, "How long will you torment my soul? How long will you crush me with words? 10 times now you have insulted me, but you are not ashamed that you are treating me so badly. But even if I actually were in the wrong, my error would remain my own concern. To be sure, when you lord it over me and you hurl my disgrace against me, you should know that God has denied me justice, and he has trapped me in his nets. Listen to me. I cry out, 'Injustice,' but I get no answer. I call for help, but there is no justice. He has blocked my way, so I cannot get by. He has brought darkness on my paths. He has stripped me of my honor, and he has taken the crown off my head. He tears me down on every side until I am gone. He uproots my hope like a tree. His anger burns against me, and he regards me as his enemy. Together his troops advance against me. They build a siege ramp against me. They camp all around my tent. He has distanced my brothers far from me, and those who know me treat me like a stranger. My relatives stay away. Even my close friends have forgotten me. Even my houseguests and my female servants treat me like a stranger. They look upon me as a foreigner. I summon my servant, but he does not answer, even though I beg him to be gracious to me. My breath keeps my wife away from me, and I am repulsive to my mother's children. Even young boys reject me. When I get up, they speak against me. My closest confidants shun me, and those I love have turned against me. I am nothing but skin and bones. I have escaped with the skin of my teeth. Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, you friends of mine, because the hand of God has struck me. Why do you pursue me the way God does? Will you never get enough of my flesh? Oh, how I wish that my words were written down. Oh, how I wish that they were inscribed in bronze, that they would be engraved in rock forever with an iron tool and letters filled with lead. As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and that at the end of time, he will stand over the dust. Then, even after my skin has been destroyed, nevertheless, in my own flesh, I will see God. I myself will see him. My own eyes will see him, and not as a stranger. My emotions are in turmoil within me. If you say, what can we do to pursue him? And he is the root of his own problems. Then you should fear the edge of the sword for yourselves. For wrath brings the punishment of the sword, so that you will know that there is judgment. First Corinthians 16. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, do as I directed the churches in Galatia to do. On the first day of every week, each of you is to set something aside in keeping with whatever he gains, saving it up at home, so that when I come, no collections will need to be carried out. When I arrive, those whom you approve will be provided with letters, and I will send these representatives to deliver your gracious gift to Jerusalem. If it is appropriate for me to go also, they will go with me. I will come to you when I have passed through Macedonia, for I am going to go through Macedonia. Perhaps I will have an extended stay with you, or even spend the winter, so that you may send me on my way wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now in passing. I hope to stay with you for a while, if the Lord permits. But I will stay on in Ephesus until Pentecost, because a door has opened for me, a great opportunity for action, and there are many adversaries. But if Timothy comes, make sure he has no reason to be afraid while he is with you, for he does the work of the Lord as I do. Therefore, let no one despise him, but send him on his way in peace so that he may come to me, because I am expecting him, and so are the brothers with me. Now concerning our brother Apollos, I strongly urged him to go to you with the brothers. It was not at all his desire to go now, but he will when he has an opportunity. Keep alert. Stand firm in the faith. Demonstrate manly courage. Be strong. Let everything you do be done in love. Brothers, you know Stephanas and his household. You know that they are the first fruits of Achaia, and that they volunteered for service to the saints. I urge that you also submit to them, and to everyone who joins in and works hard. I am glad that Stephanas, Fortunatus, and Achaicus came, because they supplied what was lacking on your part. and they refreshed my spirit and yours. Therefore, acknowledge such people. The churches in the province of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, together with the church that meets in their house. All the brothers greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This greeting is written by me, Paul, with my own hand. If anyone does not love the Lord, let him be under a curse. Maranatha, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with all of you in Christ Jesus. Amen. Psalm 40, 1 through 10. I desire to do your will. For the choir director, by David, a psalm. I waited and waited for the Lord. Then he turned to me and heard my cry. Then he pulled me up from the deadly quicksand, from the mud and muck. He made my feet stand on a rock to keep my steps from slipping. Then he put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear. They will trust in the Lord. How blessed is everyone who trusts in the Lord, who does not look to the proud or to those who turn aside to falsehood. Many are the wonders you have done, O Lord my God. No one can explain to you all your thoughts for us. If I try to speak and tell about them, they are too many to count. Sacrifice and offering you did not desire. Ears you have opened for me. You did not ask for burnt offerings and sin offerings. Then I said, here I am. I have come. The book written on a scroll tells about me. My God, I take pleasure in doing your will. Your law is in my heart. I preach righteousness in the great assembly. Indeed, I do not hold back my lips, O Lord, as you know. I do not conceal your righteousness deep in my heart. I speak of your faithfulness and salvation. I do not hide your mercy and your truth from the great assembly. Proverbs 22, 1. A good name is worth more than great wealth. Respect is worth more than silver and gold. All right, so when you're faced with a problem, you probably, like, especially those of us in a Western mindset, if there's a problem, then we want to find a solution. And if we're facing a question, then we want to find an answer. But in my experience, especially in spirituality, the truth about having a question is that it leads to more questions and more questions and more questions. And if we're willing to stay with that and keep asking the questions, then we will soon enough arrive at a place where all human wisdom fails. It's a bit of a frustrating, but also, at least for me, like, I came into spirituality thinking this, that all of the answers, every single answer to every eventuality could be figured out. The formula could actually be made that was unbreakable and would absolutely work every bit of the time. But asking questions in order to seek truth, and digging deeper and deeper and deeper into the murkiness of what that even means, we end up at a place where we are beyond our depth and all of our wisdom fails us. But if we even keep going beyond that, we find that we can reach a point where all human wisdom fails. That can feel disconcerting and like there is no solid ground. It can also be the place that we find out whether our faith is unshakable, or if it's conditional, or truly if it's not even there. After all, faith isn't required for what we think we already know. You don't need faith for what you think you already know. So in Job, watching these dialogues happen between Job and his friends, and Job is asking questions that are beyond human understanding. And he's doing this because the ground on which he stood has fallen apart. Like, he is absolutely experiencing what we would call now complex PTSD. He is absolutely, his life has fallen apart utterly, and he's desperate and hopeless. And his friends are there trying to be there for him, but they're only offering these lengthy answers full of words that end up falling flat. And so he tells them, I have heard all of this. I know all of this. I've heard it all before. You're making me even more miserable. You're not comforting me. I could say all the same things you're saying to me. If our roles were reversed, I could criticize you. I could cut at you. I could shake my head at you because I'm not getting through. Maybe we've experienced something similar. Because the talk between Job and his friends is very revealing, not just about human suffering, but about the ways that we deal with it. Because so often we'll see a friend, a brother, a sister, and they're facing something that it would be really difficult for us to face. They're in a really hard situation. And we can be so insensitive sometimes to offer these quick little snippets of advice or little corrections, like you shouldn't think of it that way because God has a plan, God is in control, all these kinds of things that we say. And that kind of advice and that kind of counsel might make us feel good, but so often it isn't touching or answering or comforting or advising correctly the questions that the person in trauma is dealing with. So many times we're speaking to our own fears and faithlessness. We're looking at what has happened to them, and we do not want that to happen to us. And we can't imagine it happening to us, and so we speak out of our own fear. Job is asking questions and making statements that his friends are finding disconcerting. They are agitated, and they're turning the conversation away from non-judgmental listening and offering presence and comfort, and turning it now into an insulting argument that is becoming a battle over who gets to be right. But Job isn't moving or being moved by it. He is convinced of his innocence. He is desperate for answers that only God can give him. And human wisdom is failing and not touching his emotional suffering and pain. And yet, his hope in God is the one unshakable thing that he's got. even though all of his questions are not finding answers, he is hoping, reaching, yearning for an audience with God face to face, where he could get the answers, where he can get understanding. There must be an explanation that can be understood. Only God has the answers. And so he hopes in finding God. And that does bring us to, man, it's a scene that, it's just so humbling. Certain aspects of Job and the way that he's responding, even though he's in so much pain, and even though he responds so poorly along the way, he has some statements that he makes from the core of who he is that are so beautiful. And we should ponder some of these, especially when our questions have no answers and there is no human wisdom to bring understanding to us. He says, "As for me, I know that my Redeemer lives, and he will stand upon the earth at last. And after my body has fallen apart, yet still in my body, I believe I will see God. I will see him for myself. I will see him with my own eyes." It's an overwhelming thought. And indeed it is. So Father, we invite your Holy Spirit to lead us deeper and deeper into the wrestling that is found in the book of Job, that is found in the reaction of Job's friends, that is found in the rawness of everything Job has to say. As for us, may these be true, these words be true, no matter the suffering. I know my Redeemer lives. 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 And in my body, even though it's fallen apart, I will see him for myself. I'll see him with my own eyes. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. In the name of Jesus, we ask. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com is home base. The Daily Audio Bible app is also home base. So be connected, stay connected. Check out the community section when you visit. That's where you will find links to the different social media platforms that we participate in. And that's also a place to be connected and stay connected. And that's good for announcements, encouragements, behind the scenes stuff. If you know this is a community and you're involved here and you are on those platforms, then following along, being connected to the journey is great. Love to see you there. Man, I know my Redeemer lives. We back at the beginning of this month, we released a song, and then it kind of fully came out about just a little over a week ago. It's called Blessed Be the Name. It's Jill and my first time we ever sang together, ever. And it's straight out of Job, and we wanted to release it when we were going into Job, and we are obviously in Job right now and kind of sailing through some of the deeper waters, some of the more difficult portions of the human experience and wrestling with it. And we're doing that because the Bible is taking us into that territory. We're reading the entire Bible as we go through a year. This is where the Bible is leading us and giving us permission to talk about it and giving us permission to feel it. Because suppressing it isn't going to make anything better. Actually wrestling with it, letting it begin to have its way with us, that is kind of the only option. So the scriptures giving us language to go there is so very, very important. And we released this song as part of that. And so if you're here going through Job, then check out Blessed Be the Name. Wherever you stream, listen to by music, look for Brian and Jill Harden. Blessed Be the Name, and you'll find it. And I hope that will be on your playlist as we go through this territory, and that you will share it with someone maybe that you know that's in the valley, that's trying to figure it out, that's doing the wrestling and doing the work. So check that out. Thank you. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, thank you for that. Especially as we navigate this summer, thank you so humbly for your partnership. We could have never been here any years, much less 20 years, if we weren't in this together. So thank you deeply for your partnership. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner, or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That's the little red button up at the top, or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, this is Daughter of Hope in Colorado. And I just wanted to say some prayers for all those out there that are suffering. Right now, I have my mom, you know, I'm taking care of with late stage dementia. You know, I'm dealing with a chronic condition myself, and I'm dealing with prodigal kids and addiction for my kids. So, you know, I would appreciate prayer there. But I just wanted to say a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just want to pray for all those mamas out there that are struggling with prodigal kids and kids that are suffering from addiction or just living in the world. I just pray that you just draw our kids back in, and that you just soothe and calm the hearts of all us mamas. I pray for all of those caring for loved ones in their home with dementia or, you know, any other ailment. I just pray for all the caregivers for strength, for you to just love through them to the people they're caring for. And I just want to pray for all those out there that are living with chronic pain and chronic illness. I just pray for a supernatural pouring out of God's healing on every cell in your body, and for there just to be complete healing to every soul around the world that needs healing. We just surrender this all to you, Abba Father. We just thank you in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, Daily Audio Bible family. This is Jacqueline from Montana, blessed in the Bitterroot. Today is Monday, August 18th, and I just have a quick praise report. My daughter Alexandra is 2 weeks seizure-free today, so praise the Lord, and let's hope we just keep that up, and the next praise report will be 2 months. I love you all. I hope you have a great day. This is Jacqueline in Montana, blessed in the Bitterroot.
Hey, Dad family. This is Trusting in Him. This call is for Eric from Colorado. Eric, I heard you calling in about your son who's trying to move and is kind of getting hit with everything, trying to really accomplish something that he's wanted to do for a really long time. I just want to encourage you to stay strong and to trust in God's timing. I find myself in a very similar situation, and I feel the struggles that you're talking about. It is hard to trust and not try and just always take action and control everything ourselves. But so I will be praying for you and your son and anyone else out there who's having the similar issues. And I would ask that you would also pray for me as I continue to try and navigate through that and trust in God's timing and God's plan and myself. Stay strong, brother. God is good and he will take care of it all.
Hey, my beautiful Dab fam. It's Asia calling in from the City of Angels on August 18th. Got to lift up some of the prayers and also request prayer as well. Brenda called in from Cali asking prayers for her good friend Steve Main, who is waiting on surgery for a double hernia and needs to get bumped up on the list if possible, and that he can endure the pain while he waits. And Kristen, aka Christ in Me, called requesting prayers for her brother Rick, who really needs the Lord's salvation, and that we would pray for his faith and belief in Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, we come before your beautiful, beautiful throne of grace and mercy, Lord. Not that we deserve anything, but you are such a great God. You are El Shaddai, the Almighty God, and you desire us to come before you and to worship you and to be called by your name. So we that have accepted that call that you have chosen to do so, come before you, Lord, and we are praying. The prayers of the righteous avail much, and we know the only reason we're considered righteous is because of our faith and belief in Christ Jesus, and he has done it all. So, Father, we lift up Steve to you, Lord. Father God, he needs endurance in this season, endurance and strength, your endurance, Father God, to get him through this pain while he waits for the surgeons to be able to operate on him. We pray also he would get bumped up on that list. And Heavenly Father, we pray for Rick. He needs your salvation, Lord. We pray that he is one of your called out. He is one of your people called by your name, Father God. We pray that in this time, as Kristen witnesses to him, that he would just trust and believe and accept you, Father God, through Jesus Christ. And Lord, I ask prayers for my brother Lucky, who is not responding to treatment, Lord, that we could lift him up and that he would be able to continue to have more days with you on earth.
Hi, Daily On Your Bible prayer partners. This is Dr. Maureen from Alexandria, Virginia. I'm calling in to pray for my brother who asked for prayer, the one who has been suffering with long COVID for over 3 years. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before you together as a group to lift up our brother before you, praying that by your stripes, Lord God, he is healed. We pray for him, O God, that he will not lose his faith, but that you would strengthen him in the name of Jesus. We pray, Father God, that you would touch his body, every organ, every cell, every ligament, every tendon in your body is now receiving healing in the name of Jesus. And we pray that you would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We pray that every part of you is now receiving strength, because every wound that Jesus took upon his body, every stripe that was put upon him, brought you healing. So even now, we declare as a group over you, divine healing, divine strength is flowing into your body. You will arise and you will testify of God's healing power in the name of Jesus. So brother, be strengthened in your faith. You will not lose your faith. Your faith will be strengthened. Jesus is praying for you that your faith will not fail you. And we are praying that your faith will not fail you and you receive your healing even now in Jesus' name.
Hi, this is Victorious Victoria, even though I'm not feeling very victorious at the moment. I'm calling because I need some prayer and encouragement. Me and my husband just found out that we're pregnant for our fourth child. I have a 13-year-old who is low vision and struggles with anxiety. A 3-year-old that's firing on all cylinders constantly, and a 1-year-old. So I'm just feeling very, very overwhelmed at the moment. And I feel like if I felt like a better mother, I would feel better about having another child. And I feel very guilty and very ashamed to say that I'm not really excited. And I know that children are blessings from the Lord, and as soon as the baby gets here, I will never have imagined life without it. But at this moment, I'm just feeling very overwhelmed and anxious, and I would really appreciate it if y'all would just lift me up.